Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Review. It's not the morning briefing, it's the afternoon briefing today. Slightly later time, of course. We do apologise for that. It's Wednesday, the 29th of June. I'm Derek Clark, and I'm joined by Johnny McFarlane, as ever. How are we doing, Johnny?
Good, mate. Yeah, good. I've been, extremely busy doing other things this morning. And I've been doing a bit of digging, obviously, around the Colac deal. So, yeah, it's been put off to this afternoon. So I apologise for anyone who was hanging around at 9:30 for their Rangers Review fix, and we weren't there to provide it for them.
Yeah, good things come to those who wait. There's so many comments coming in already. But before we talk all things Colac and Rangers, folks, just a bit of housekeeping. As you can see down below, we've still got that great offer on the website. If you subscribe now, you'll get a free 30-day trial, basically full access. You can see if it's for you. After that, it's only £2.99 per month thereafter, so it's a bargain. Head over to rangersreview.co.uk/subscribe. So many of you are signing up just now, so thank you very much for doing so. And as you can see as well, the One Football app is the Rangers Review sponsor for our daily briefings. It's your one-stop shop for all your footballing needs. You keep up to date with all the latest goings on from Ibrox. It's free also for Android and iPhone users. So not only can you keep abreast of all that's going on from Rangers, but you can keep up to date with all of Scottish football. There's fixture lists on there. You can scout the opposition. You can also keep an eye on all things football over the border down south in the Premier League, Championship, League One and League Two, and further afield as well across the pond in the Champions League, Europa League, Conference League as well. So it's a One Football app, folks. Go and download it now. It's available for both Android and iPhone users. Okay, let's talk all things Rangers, because that's why people are logging on, Johnny. And Antonio Colac, there appears to be have been some progression, some movement with a possible move to Rangers. And you have the latest, is a piece up on the website just now. I'll put the link up in the comments section. Fill us in. What's happening, Johnny?
Yeah, so it's my understanding that Rangers have agreed a deal with PAOK regarding the player's future. Fee of around £1.8 million. And the player has agreed to return to Ibrox, well, to come to Ibrox, return, because obviously he was there with Malmo previously.
Yeah.
Player is really, really keen to come, and he's requested that the transfer be dealt with as quickly as possible. Obviously, this is all sounding very, very good. However, nothing's been signed off as of yet. There is a hold-up at the PAOK end, despite there being an agreement in place. It's been described to me as bizarre, given that everything is all the boxes are ticked. And really only PAOK can explain what the situation is. There's a lot of speculation over in Greece as well as to what's happening, quite a lot of reports that are coming out. It seems to me that what seems likely is they're waiting to get in a replacement, or they're looking to further their ambitions of getting in a replacement as quickly as possible before signing off on the deal. But I do understand that it is something that is causing frustration at what was Murray Park, now the Rangers Training Centre. So we'll see how this pans out, Derek, in the coming days. But certainly it is a deal that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst is very, very keen to get in. Now, £2 million, £1.8 million to be exact, is not a lot of money by today's standards. However, Rangers, for the most part, when they're moving it in the transfer market, when they're paying a transfer fee, will go for players that are looking to go for a future price, to go down the line. So that is not going to be the case with a 28-year-old. So obviously, at £1.8 million, it's a reasonable outlay.
Yeah, and it appears that it's just the money that has been recouped for Cedric Eaton has been spent on Antonio Colac. So for me, that seems like good business savvy from Rangers. Of course, we all know that Cedric Eaton wasn't suited to the club. He's since departed and went back to his homeland. So for me, we all know what Colac can do. Johnny, you mentioned Rob's Watched his performance at Ibrox in the Champions League qualifier last season. So for me, it seems a decent bit of business if they can bring him in for under £2 million and Eaton goes out the door, Colak comes in. I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Derek. I mean, it's a clever sleight of hand by Rangers to move Cedric Eaton, a guy who hasn't really offered much, who hasn't really fit into the way the team want to play, and swap him for someone who is essentially, you know, a Croatia international, who has scored goals wherever he's been, with the exception of this move to PAOK. Now, I think that's really important, that if you look at his record in Croatia, it's better than one in every two. If you look at his record for Malmo, it's about one in every two. You know, so yes, it hasn't worked in Salonika. There's no doubt about that. But just have a look at the quotes that are surrounding this player in terms of his current manager. And he's talking about, you know, Greek football and the idiosyncrasies of the game there. And he's saying, you know, he's quick, he's smart, he's good with the ball at his feet. There are so many ways he can break up a defence. In Greek football, we play against teams that do not give you much space and you have to create it. And he's been excellent at doing that. He's a player who has my complete trust. And that's from a manager who has only seen him score three goals, I think, in 23 this season. So, you know, it's I think that there's players that can go and make moves that don't necessarily work, where it be the style of play that the team has or whatever. But Eaton, if you look at his overall record in the last four seasons, I think Aldo McNaught is spot on when he says one bad season out of four, and you're talking about it's not even one full season. It's you know in terms of his time back at PAOK. So I have to say, the more I look at the guy, Derek, the more I read the scout reports, the more I think back to that game. I just think this is one. If Rangers can get it over the line, then I think it'll be a very, very good signing indeed. Now, I notice people saying, so is this Greek journalist talking nonsense? You know, he'll have his sources, I have my sources. This is my understanding at the moment. I'm very firm on this.
Yeah.
Rangers have made an agreement and there's some strange things happening at the PAOK end. So how that pans out, we don't know at the stage, but Rangers are confident. The player wants to come. They feel an agreement has been reached. So I think it's a bit of a strange situation. We'll just have to see how it comes to what happens in the next 24 hours.
Yeah, and I've spoken to a Malmo journalist as well today to discuss his form. We'll have that out on our YouTube channel, folks, and on the website as well. And you're right, Johnny. He spoke highly of him. Malmo tried to get him in, but their record transfer fee is €1.5 million, and they felt it was to splash out €3 million on him would just have been a bit too much. Apparently, Colak was disappointed not to make that move permanent. But hey, Rangers look to have won a match on them and try and get him in to Ibrox. Listen, as RFC 56 said, I think another striker. I've went on record saying I think they need two. I think Colak is a decent bit of business. And one bad season out of four. You can't need too much in his time in Greece. But, I mean, this Malmo journalist I spoke to, Johnny, he said he had a slow start. He arrived because he hadn't been playing in Greece. Then he had COVID and he had to get up to speed. But the Rangers game is really when he started to find the back of the net and started to make a name for himself. And I think Swedish football, it's pretty similar, you'd have to say, to Scottish football in terms of the physicality. And I see a lot of comments come in saying you'll score for fun and all that in Scotland. Listen, they need a 15 to 20 goal plus striker. And apparently he's not the quickest, but he's a penalty box finisher. He's a poacher. And Rangers need someone like that, don't they, Johnny? Because that's where they came up short last season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Giovanni van Bronckhorst has always, certainly during his time at Feyenoord, always played with a target man, or mostly did when one was available. He likes to have a focal point in the team, and this would offer that kind of focal point. And obviously, Alfredo Morelos offers that kind of focal point. We're yet to see what the situation was with Morelos in the long term. I don't think Rangers are in any hurry to see him leave, which we can all understand. I know he was back at the training ground today.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see how that pans out. But I think Colak, certainly, if you're looking at Roof, if you're looking at Colak, if you're looking at Morelos, Derek, that's quite a lot of high-quality firepower. You know, you've got a Colombian international, a Jamaican international, and a Croatian international there. I think competition will be fierce at that point. So while I agree with you, I would like to see four strikers. I'd like to see a veteran come in the Jermaine Defoe mould. I think that's a decent amount. Where Rangers, for me, need to move now in terms of the recruitment is to try and get in a top-class right-sided winger who can give you the kind of balance on that side of the pitch that Ryan Kent gives you on the left-hand side. So we'll see how that pans out. I know there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes to try and identify the kind of players that can really make a difference within Rangers' budget. You have to be realistic of what a Scottish Premiership club can go out and do in the transfer market. But again, guys, when Colak's name was first mentioned, I wasn't too sure. But having read our scouting writers who have really, really dug into him and had a look at the stats around Colak, I think he looks like that's a sensible move at a decent price. As for anything else, we know the club are keeping their cards close to their vest, and we'll wait and see how that all pans out. But certainly, it doesn't seem like I don't think this will be the last signing of the summer. Put it that way.
No, absolutely not. Some other questions I wanted to touch on, Johnny. Other than Colak, this question from Sean Gray. He says, would you take Boyle? Now, this is comments made by Craig Moore saying Rangers should aggressively pursue Martin Boyle. Would you take Boyle?
I think Martin Boyle is a good player.
Yeah.
And he did really well against Rangers. But what I would say is, there's been two other transfers very, very similar to Martin Boyle in recent years, which would be Jordan Jones and Brandon Barker. Very kind of similar skill set. I would argue that Boyle's probably better than both those players and certainly had better numbers for Hibs. But I just wonder if a guy whose sole key ability is just raw, blistering pace is really ever what Rangers need on a week-to-week basis. I would say no, not for me. I don't know what the guys in the comments think. Obviously, last season he caused a lot of problems in terms of that League Cup final game where he scored the hat-trick. But I think primarily he's a player who thrives on space and behind. And just domestically, Rangers don't really have that. These kind of players haven't worked in the past, and I'm not sure this one would work.
Yeah, although Jordan gets in touch, he says Boyle would be a no-brainer for him. He's quick, direct, and scores goals. But Aldo also makes it a decent point. We have that with Sakala.
Yeah,
it's an interesting one. He went to a team in the Middle East, Al Sali, I think. They've just been relegated from Saudi Arabia, but he went there for around £3 million, a lot of money over there, but with the relegation.
He's 29 as well, Derek. So you're not going to pay £3 million for a 29-year-old who isn't going to definitely impact the team, I don't think.
No, Craig Kelly, it's a no for him. And Billy Brown says can do better. Why not bring back Diallo? We spoke at him at great length yesterday about the possibility of bringing Ahmad Diallo back to Ibrox on another season long loan. So many other comments coming in here, Johnny, a lot of names being bandied about. Let's see, we'll try and take a couple of the points that have been made. People talking about soul backing, of course, that apparently heading off to Galatasaray. Jamie says apparently soul backing going for £2 million, been over the back of that.
Again, he would have been a great signing, I think, but I think it's important to remember we all have our little transfer deals that we like the look of, and if football was like football manager, then it'd be dead easy. But sometimes these deals, you know, it can be £2 million, but then the player wants 50-60 grand a week. You know, there's complications. You'd have to imagine there's a reason why Celtic and Rangers, and I know Celtic have been linked with them as well, which is why I mentioned them, haven't gone heavy on Ole Solbakken, given the way he performed against Celtic. And you have to imagine that there's more complexity to it because he's the kind of player and the kind of position that I think those both clubs are always looking to strengthen in. So as much as I totally agree, having seen them, what he did in that Conference League game, you would definitely say that he's someone that you would fancy a crack at. I think you have to understand that there's complexities that we just don't know about in terms of agents' fees, in terms of wages, that are sometimes ahead of the transfer fee that looks like a bargain. So yeah. It needs to be taken into account.
Yeah, lots of comments come in regards, and we've talked about Lewis Ferguson at length as well, Johnny. He says that Gary Gray says he'd take Lewis Ferguson. Link with Millwall, of course, that's correct. £1.5 million was the fee mooted.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Not 1.5 million. Absolutely no chance. Aberdeen will not accept that.
Yeah.
It just won't happen.
Yeah.
At least double, if not more.
Wow. And for me, Johnny, that's too much money for Rangers to be splashing out on Lewis Ferguson. No disrespect to the boy, but I think money can be used better elsewhere in different positions.
I totally understand that position. We'll probably never know. Here's the only thing I would say. I didn't think Ryan Jack was good enough for Rangers. You know, when Ryan Jack was being linked with a move to Rangers, I was probably saying, nah, he's not good enough. And look at him now. Sometimes you get a great deal by going and signing somebody from your own league and allowing them to develop, and they can develop into a better player. Now, I don't know if Lewis Ferguson is that player or not.
Yeah.
There's obviously the romantic element about his family history, and that's quite a compelling narrative for many of us. I'm on the fence on Ferguson. I would say that from my point of view, if you could secure him at a reasonable price, I don't think it would be a bad move, but I wouldn't be splashing out the kind of money that Aberdeen seem to be looking for the player. You saw what Aberdeen have got from Calvin Ramsey. They're in a position where their owner has enough wealth that they can actually say no to transfer deals, and they'll only accept what they think is a reasonable amount. So I don't think those two factors would come together to make it a kind of one that Rangers would want to pursue. I don't think, I've certainly not heard that, but I don't think we should so readily dismiss players from Scottish football themselves, because, you know, I think like Walter Smith was a master at that, going out and picking up players from the Scottish League that he saw something in, and very often you got a really, really good turnout of them over time.
Yeah, there's an interesting point just touching on that, Johnny. John Park mentions I would definitely reinvest in more of our homegrown talent, in his opinion. Now, there was moves made yesterday in terms of snapping up young players from other teams in Scotland. Cammy Cooper has arrived from Partick Thistle, just a 16-year-old. Also, Kieran Willicks, another 16-year-old from Inverness Caledonian Thistle. And Cole McKinnon has signed a new 3-year deal with the club today. 19-year-old, of course, scored that his first goal for Rangers on his debut at Tynecastle at the final league game last season. So certainly moves being made with the younger age group, Johnny, which can only be good. They're obviously talent spotting in domestic waters.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of the transfer strategy. And I thought there's a really interesting 20-minute long interview with Craig Mulholland, and he talked about the fact that Rangers have lost a couple of talents to clubs down south, which is partly a problem that's been brought about by Brexit, with so many English clubs looking to sort of fish in our waters, as it were.
Yeah.
But that also works both ways, and that Rangers are able to go and snap up players. And you saw Zach Lovelace being one that's come in the opposite direction, and you've now got another couple in the last few days. I think it's absolutely imperative that Rangers are going out there with that enticement, especially of the B team. Derek, I was talking about this with a couple of people today, and I think people are really coming round at Rangers to this notion of how big the B team is in terms of a player's development.
Yeah.
And they've already seen the great strides that we saw last season. You just have to look at that game at Hearts where those boys went out and just seamlessly fitted into that side. There's so many of them there. Cole McKinnon is one, you know, Charlie McCann, Lowry, Leon King. this is a really, really good group of kids that's coming through. And if you're continually adding top quality to that and they get the opportunity to test their mettle against the men, and you hope in the years ahead that they'll get the opportunity to not only do that in the Lowland League, but potentially progress up through the pyramid. And you know, you've got the ideal scenario of Rangers potentially playing in the Championship or League One in future, where they really are getting that kind of stress of going against guys who are playing for bonuses and who it really matters to, who are trying to progress themselves up the pyramid. And that kind of that cutthroat level of football will hopefully stand them in terrific stead. But there's real quality now coming through. And I think a real quality team in place. And for me, the Rangers Youth Academy is in as good a situation as it's been for many a decade.
Yeah, lots of comments coming in with regards to Cameron Bell. This is a player at Everton, 16-year-old defender, Scotland Youth International. Don't have any updates on that. Reports were that Rangers were close to enticing him up across the border as well. I'm not overly familiar with the player myself, I've got to be honest, but again, it's good to see Rangers targeting these young players and bringing them up. As you mentioned, Johnny Lovelace coming up from Millwall, be interested to see how he gets on. I think it's always important though with these young players, I mean, that they're for the development side, that they won't be thrust into the first team. I know that Lovelace has played for Millwall, but in terms of labelling them a wonder kid and what have you, and putting unnecessary pressure on, I think it's counterproductive at times with these young boys. But certainly it's good to see that they're casting their net and they're trying to improve the B team. And as we've seen, as I mentioned, that Hearts game, the future's bright with the amount of players that are coming through. We're now seeing that conveyor belt of talent producing real quality young players and players that can go on not only play for the first team, but could perhaps move on, a la Nathan Patterson, as we've seen with Everton as well.
And listen, Leon King's the perfect example of that, because Leon Balogun, we all think that Leon Balogun is a good player.
Yes.
We all saw last season that he was still, despite the fact that he's getting on in years, really quick, physically solid. You know, he's a great defender. But Leon Balogun, I think most people agreed that it was the right time to move him on, as much as he clearly had a great attitude, he clearly loved the club. It clearly meant a lot to him, the 2 years that he's had. Because you've got Leon King coming through and you can't continue to stifle the growth of someone that has got the potential to become a really, really big talent. And it's really good that these players like King and Lowry especially already just pushing into that first team group and already establishing themselves. And, you know, I'm hearing a lot of good things about Charlie McCann, that he's going to be one that's there in with the bricks, that you know, he's not going to be stifled. Is another one that's going to come through. So quite soon you're going to have a lot of these graduates. I think there was 10 graduates that played in the team last season. And that's starting to be a real conveyor belt. That's starting to see, finally, after years and years of complaints about what was coming through and how it was coming through, I think you're starting to see a new bloom, Derek, of real talent emerging from Rangers from Auk and Howie. And you know, it's been quite a while in coming. It's been a long time since we had that cluster that came around in sort of 2006, the sort of Blue Heaven boys, Chris Burke and Alan McGregor and Charlie Adam, Stephen Smith, Ross McCormick, all those boys who came through kind of at a similar time. But I think finally we're starting to see that come through, and these kids at all levels of the Scottish national team now from Rangers, and it's really looking solid.
Yeah, it could stop the club paying millions of pounds in transfer fees by breeding them on. And it's having guys like Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, who isn't afraid of bleeding young players in the first team, and Dave Voss, of course, we have to remember, with his background, certainly bodes well for the future. And before we go, Johnny, I just spotted an interesting question here, a bit left field from Stephen Kirkland, who gets
always love one of those.
Tavernier, for me, is a contender for that right wing position, and the club should bring in an attacking right back. What do you make of that?
Well, I know why Stephen's asking this question, but I think it's quite a different position. And Tavernier brings in those numbers because he's coming from deep. He's arriving from deep. And it's a different, it is a different positional situation you find yourself in. I think Tav is unbelievable for Rangers as a right back. And when you have a player that's just an absolute phenom, which is what he is, then you don't want to mess with that too much. Remember what Tavernier had with Daniel Candias, right? Imagine you had Tavernier having that kind of relationship with a player of Ryan Kent's quality down the right. And for me, that needs to be the priority. And if that player's injured or if Gio wants to switch it around a bit, you can still have Tav providing that level of quality that, and delivery that he does. But I just always think, imagine you had two players of comparable quality on the wings in terms of Kent and another feeding Morelos. How much of a difference that would make to Rangers' right wing, as a few of the commenters have said, and I totally agree with them, is that's been a position that Rangers have struggled with for a number of years. Candias, I think, has been the best overall, but I think there's a real opportunity to find someone that can be even better and provide really, really, really good quality of goals and assists from that area. I know we've gone on about Amad Diallo so much, right? And I know he splits opinion. I know some people will be agreeing with me here and some people won't, but the one thing Amad Diallo did give you is that ability to turn up at the back post and knock the ball in. Imagine if you get somebody doing that for the whole season. Because so many chances back there. There's so many balls in the box that
that's how
somebody who can sniff out a chance like Diallo did. And I know it was a short period of time. I know that. But those kind of runs, and Josh has been talking about that as well for quite a lot of time in terms of his stats and analysis work. You can get somebody who can just tuck in there and finish the ball off. They'll easily get 10 to 15 goals from that position.
Yeah, no question about it. Okay, folks, I think that'll do us there. Thanks to everyone for joining us today and interacting with the programme. The big news, as we mentioned, Antonio Colak fee. Rangers have met the fee and the player wants to come, but there's still some things to iron out before he can be paraded at Ibrox. POK looking to bring in a replacement before letting the Croatian international striker depart. And the update, the story you can find on the Rangers Review website. And we've got that great offer, as you can see in the ticker below. If you subscribe now, you get a 30-day trial for full access, absolutely free. And it's just £2.99 per month thereafter. It's an absolute bargain. Head over to rangersreview.co.uk/subscribe for all the details. Okay, we'll be back again tomorrow at the usual time of 9:30. But until then, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.